Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, and my favorite fans out there, the horror fans, welcome to the Baron's Crypt. Hope everyone's ready for the show tonight. Got a lot of things to discuss. And some people have been following probably on Facebook. I will be discussing the rising costs of the horror conventions, the festivals, and even with the autographs and all those other little tidbits that happen at these events. But first off, we got to discover, talk about the news. But even before that, and I got a couple people that got a little upset that I'm not playing my intro enough. So, got to please the fans because you're the ones who are listening to this show. So we're going to give about 35 seconds of the Gregorian Ave Santani because we're coming to the Halloween season and we're going to raise hell. And here's something about, well, I guess my dad in a way. Enjoy. All right, so there we go. Hopefully we made the fans happy about that. As many as you know, that comes from the Omen music. And when I say dad, hey, why not? Some people praise Jesus. I praise Lucifer because, let's face it, it's hell out there in this world of ours today. All right, so for the news, everybody knows we got about 62 days to the high holy day of Halloween. Although so for some of us, Halloween is almost every day because, let's face it, being a horror fan, and people think you're crazy, people think you're odd, you wear black, you're a devil worshiper, you're all this stuff. You know what? I just defend the horror fans, and if someone wants to come out and is bullying you about this stuff, just send them over to the Baron. I'll take care of the problem. So, next up, I wanted to also discuss on the show tonight, and I will, about the Horror Happens Film Festival that I went to this past weekend. It was a very good event. Jay did a great job with it. Of course, we have to mention that we had another death in the world of horror. Richard Attenborough passed away on August 24th. He had directed one horror film. It was called Magic, and that had Anthony Hopkins in it. He also is most known for being in the films Jurassic Park and Lost World Jurassic Park. I also want to send out a congratulations. I don't watch the show, but the Emmys. I don't watch the Emmys. I'm not into that kind of stuff. It's not my thing. But I want to give a shout-out here to outstanding lead actress in a miniseries or movie, Jessica Lange, for American Horror Story, Coven one, the Covenant. Outstanding supporting actress in a miniseries or movie, Kathy Bates for the same show. Let's face it, if you did watch it, they did a hell of a job. Kathy Bates, wow, the language she used in the show, it was just so different from her natural way of being. So I thought it was a great thing. Just to let people know that Roxy Tyler is still working through the Indiegogo people who funded her film, Roxy and Me. She'll be sending out Vincent Price types of glossy pictures signed by her from, let's see here, they're going to be 8x10s. They're going to be coming out, I guess, probably in the fall, she puts it here. And other perks she promised. It just takes time. They're working now trying to get the film done. And also to please everybody on this. Also, she's, casting, so if you need a job, here's something for you. And these extras are playing the Gothic audience members of a talk show, 31st. So that's this weekend. At 1 p.m., it's a one-hour shoot near Langhorne, PA. You will receive a Internet Movie Database credit for for joining it. I'm having trouble speaking today, folks. Doing a little science call, so forgive me. Please email her at the following address, and here it is. carnelahayslett@live, if you're interested. I would probably say for the subject line, put in the Gothic audience. Also, Carmela has with Gruo, which as you can see was the address that Kenneth just gave you just now, is still doing work on reels. So if you're looking to get a good, acting reel done, choose her as your editor. She gives free updates. She can help promote your reel to other filmmakers. She knows what they're looking for. Help you get more roles, more gigs. So, again, send an email or a message to her at the same address I just gave you for the casting call. Speaking of casting calls and coming up on its deadline, it's Slasher House 2, the sequel to the hit indie horror slasher that made in the UK. Now, again, people have said to me, Baron, why do you give this information out? The answer is always the same. It's a twofold reason. One, it's a casting call. That means it goes out to everybody, and everybody can participate in this. Hey, I got the word right that time. And and the other thing is the show is on a podcast, so this goes everywhere. I know I have fans that are listening to this over in Europe. Maybe not at this current moment, but they will listen to a playback. So, again, this film, Slasher House, is doing really well right now. It's getting a lot of attention. I wrote a review for Rogue Cinema. Eleanor James, who played Red in the first film, has now since retired from acting. And so now they need to recast her role among all many others. So what do? Well, you can go to Facebook and you can find out about Slasher House 2 and the Red casting. You can go to this other site they list here called www.starnowco.uk. Then you hit the casting calls, actors wanted, and you just keep drilling down. You'll find probably a couple projects. And you say, Baron, I'm here in the Philadelphia region. I'm not going to UK. Why limit yourself? Instead of maybe heading out to California or heading to Canada or some other place, maybe you get picked to do this film. Maybe there's a perk for you then to go to the UK and really say, hey, I'm now an international horror star because I'm now making a film over there. I mean, why limit yourself? If you want to do that, then you want to limit yourself, go ahead. And that's what you do. You look at the whole picture. That's what horror fans and that's what, people in the business do. The whole spectrum. All right, moving right along. We got Screenbox. They've got their new site up at screenbox.com. It's uncut and commercial-free. We say here, the way horror films were meant to be. Watch, start now, and only for $3.99 per month. Not a bad deal. That sounds interesting. They say they got thousands of movies. I don't know if they got thousands, but probably got maybe they do have 1,000 movies. I mean, if you want to figure out about movies, you want to watch trauma films, everybody knows the trauma movies, about 200 of them are available on YouTube for free. So just to kind of throw that out there. As everybody knows, a very big package is coming down the road from Universal Classic Monsters. Complete 30-film collection. We have Dracula, Frankenstein, The Bride of Frankenstein, Wolfman, The Mummy, The Invisible Man, The Creature from the Black Lagoon, The Phantom of the Opera, going off of Amazon for, just a mere $180. Wow, that's not too bad. Speaking of things that cost some bucks, to our real estate fans out there, we have two things. We know that the Adams Family home it was based off of is up for sale. I think it's going for at least $2.1 million. So if you got some spending cash, there you go. Or if you're really a big spender, the Dracula's Castle, that's still for sale. So you're looking at about another $110 million there. If you're looking for something in between, I hear there's an island off of Italy that's kind of spooky. You can have that for roughly $5 million. So there's a couple places. If you got the money to spend, go for it. Like, who has this kind of money? I don't. I also want to talk about Crystal Lake, the series. Now, this was on Indiegogo. Basically, and this has become a big issue right now, good and bad, if you want to really get down to it. The Indiegogo line they used was the general storyline with Tommy Jarvis, who becomes the sheriff of Crystal Lake, protecting the town from evil that lurks in the woods. And this was going to be a 15-minute web series. $1,650 was collected. They were looking for $1,000, so they got their funding. But now, this was supposed to be a fan film, I guess. And, well, they got some bad news, and they got that on Tuesday. And they got it came from a cease and desist order from New Line Cinema. And they stay here. It was sad. It's sad, and we're all heartbroken. There's nothing we could do unless we wanted to get sued, and they really don't want to get sued. So they're, you know, handling their personal messages and trying to see what they can do. The good news, they say, we're going to work on something else to take its place. Another web series called Urban Legends to Die For. It's Urban Legends with a twist. Very sellable, and they're looking to have real investors for it. Now, I don't know. It's called Urban Legends. Are they worried that whoever owns the rights to the Urban Legends series could get upset with something like that? I don't think so, but you really don't know anymore. Now, you got to wonder about this. They can't get back into Indiegogo. They can't get, you know, attached to that anymore. So I'm a little apprehensive. You would think that you would have known using that type of title, Crystal Lake, there would be a lot of different things. So they're looking for people to donate to this project. They'll need probably more money to do this one. Once again, they consider this a mighty blow. Shows that they're still willing to make the project and thought they were on the right track, but well, they're a little off the tracks, if you would. Now, they're trying to say that there's been a lot of fan films out there that don't seem to be having a problem. But, you know, when I think about a fan film, a lot of people make these fan films. You know, they make the Michael Myers, they make the Freddies and everything. They're usually not going on Indiegogo for the money to make that fan film. It's basically one of the guys, you know, gets the video camera out. A couple others dress up as the Freddy or the, you know, Michael Myers or whatever the character may be. And they go on and they make a little comedy. Maybe it's 10 minutes long. And then they just put it up on YouTube or something saying, well, no copyright infringement intended. We're just making this we're fans of the film, and this was our fantasy, if you would, to throw it up there. Okay. No one seems to really get upset by that. But maybe here is that they used Indiegogo, they used funds from people, and they were going in this direction. It sounds more of a commercial endeavor than just pure fan film. My opinion, I don't base it off anything. I've never talked to the filmmakers, so I really can't say much more about it. So if you want to find out about the Urban Legends to Die For the series, that sentence right there, put that into Facebook. It'll take you there. You can find it on Twitter under ULTDF, the series. All right. I just want to give out the phone number here. As everybody knows, this is on the horror scene now. And again, I'm very thankful to be on the horror scene network. Great team there and a lot of good people. So the number here is 347-857-3667. Again, I said at the top of the show, I'm going to be discussing the horror conventions. I'm going to do that in just a couple minutes. Why wait? I guess maybe we should kick into it right now. The buzz online this past week has been about these conventions. The cost of them, and the people that are coming to them. Now, I've been to a lot of horror conventions, and let me just say right now that the horror group, if you would, really ranks in different people. You got new people coming into it from different angles, and you got the hardcore members. What I see first from the conventions, the rising in cost, they really are. The average that I like, I think, is RAC, that had, I think, a price of $20 for each day, which isn't that bad of a price if you come down and think about it, all the way up to some of these are getting up to $60, $70 for two people to go. I mean, come on, $35 a person. You spend $70 at the door. You get in. Now, let's say you want to purchase from one of the vendors, numerous vendors there. You're getting kind of tight on your money if you're just trying to, you know, budget it right. Now, Big Stink is about the people, the stars. Now, this seems to be the big issue. And all I can say about this issue is, from what I understand, the conventions do not control the stars. They have no way of limiting their, I guess, their financial income. That really comes down to you, the fans. Some people go, they charge too much for the pictures, they charge too much for this. I've seen prices go anywhere from $10 all the way up to over $150. People get upset with a lot of the Walking Dead characters. And really, it's the actors. They're not even dressed into their characters. And I think that probably has something to do with licensing with the various, you know, studios or companies. Because, you know, just like I said with the Crystal Lake one, there was licensing issues there. It's probably the same thing exists for them, too. You know, I went to Bizarre AC and I saw Doug Bradley, the actor Doug Bradley. I didn't see Pinhead. And while he is best known for that role, when people went to do the group shot with, you know, Doug Bradley and the other actors who played the Cenobites, they're all dressed normally. So you're getting your picture taken with, you know, people who are dressed just like, you know, every day. And that's got fans upset. They were like, look, I'd rather spend $200 for the photo with them all dressed up. Yeah, it's nice. But, you know, you got to look at it from the actor standpoint. It's twofold. One, that person is an actor, and they play a role. They play many roles. For them to say, well, I'm going to sit here as Pinhead and do that, you know, people are going to quote lines from the movie. They're going to do a lot of things. It might be very difficult. At the same time, he's an actor. He doesn't know who he's going to meet at this event, and he'd rather meet them as, you know, Doug Bradley then say, hey, I'm Pinhead, and let's do it that way. So you have that. As for The Walking Dead, a lot of people seem to be a backlash against that because they're not dressing up as their character. They're not drinking, you know, Daryl or Rick. To even to the point that recently, and I saw this, was that there was the babies that play like Rick's baby on the show. Now they're coming to these events, and it's pretty weird because, you know, how does that relate to horror and people are not getting that? Well, here's the thing. You don't like it? Don't go to their table. Don't go to their event. Don't go to what they're doing. Avoid it. some people are going, the cost with the pictures being taken, you know, the star wants you to pay them for you taking the picture with your phone. Well, wait a minute. Some of these phones nowadays, folks, are not, you know, they're not cheap. They got high-resolution pictures on them. You can do video. You're taking their picture, you're taking their image, depending on who they are, and you're getting this. Excuse me. So what we have now is that you want to take the picture, which is okay. Right? So you take the picture. What I think they should do is allow you to take the picture. Then you have to, you know, go over to a printer. Let's say you're using a camera. Take out your memory card, put it into the printer, and now you just print that picture out. You take it back to the, you know, to the star, and you go, look, here's $20. Could you sign the picture that has me in it with you? That means a lot more because there's more of a bonding issue there. But, excuse me, I'm sorry, folks. I'm dealing with this cold. And, yes, I'm drinking at the same time. So it's always good to have alcohol when you have a cold, just a personal theory of mine. So, again, if you want to discuss this issue with me, and so many people were on this on Facebook discussing this last night, and it's, oh, but Baron, I'm going to call into the show, and, oh, Baron, I want to discuss this, and, oh, I want to, you know, do this. Fine. The number is 347-857-3667. People go, we need to get a podcast, and we need to really talk about this issue. So what am I doing? I'm having this. Oh, Well, somebody got that ringed up here. And I see who this is. Okay, you're on the air with Baron.
Hey, Baron, it's Armageddon Ed, brother. You there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Ed?
Good, brother. Just calling to check in, as always. Another great show on Baron's Crypt. I'm just sitting back listening to it, really enjoying it. And just wanted to hear your perspective on everything. And they told me I could listen to the show without queuing in, but I guess it queued me in anyway. I was going to queue in eventually, but I just wanted to check in with you.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm still trying to always understand Block Talk and how things work on it. So, you know, it's great having you on here.
Hey, thanks, brother. Thanks. It's good to be on. And I have to say, I'm kind of disheartened to hear about the I was actually looking forward to that Indiegogo project you were talking about, the fan film with Tommy Jarvis and Friday the 13th. I can't believe they threw the cease and desist on him like that.
Yeah. I found it out, I guess, sometime last night, early this morning. I usually go back to the Indiegogo, as many people know, and I give updates. The page has been taken down. So I started to research, and yeah, they got a cease and desist order from New Line Cinema.
Wow, that's crazy, man. You know, and it's funny because you look at something like Star Wars, right? And how Star Wars like seems to embrace people that make these fan films. It doesn't hurt anything. I don't know why they went after them. It just seems bizarre to me.
Well, in the end, it always deals with money. So I guess New Line Cinema still wants even more money to line their pockets. They got a lot now, and I don't think it's right. I mean, all they were going to do were 15-minute web episodes. I mean, how's that going to hurt your big empire?
Yeah. I hear you. I would be honored if somebody wanted to make an Armageddon Ed faux documentary or something. I'd be like, have at it, because I think any press is good press. But, I'm not New Line Cinema, so I can't speak for them. But also, very cool how you're talking about the conventions and everything, so I'm sorry to get you away from that.
No. What's your opinion about it? About the convention?
Oh, my opinion is, and it's been my opinion, I used to go to, and once again, it could be because I'm getting a little older now. I've been going to horror conventions for about 15 years. So when I started going, I was in my early 20s. And as I get older, you know, it doesn't seem to be as much fun, the waiting online and the lack of interaction. You start to kind of feel like cattle. I mean, that's my feeling. I went up to one of, and I'm not going to drop any particular names of conventions, but I went to a very popular one in North Jersey back in October, and Norman Reedus was there. And although it was very interesting and cool to see the amount of young girls that you never saw at a horror convention before, and I'm talking about girls between the ages of 18 and 30, although they were there, they were the minority, because usually the demographic is men ages 25 to 50. So it was nice to see all these young people really being interested in it. But what wasn't cool about it was the fact that those same young people were waiting online for about 4.5 hours to meet Norman Reedus. And I feel like they don't really do anything for you during that time. You wait there for 4 or 5 hours, and you just keep pacing down the hallway. And when I see something like that, I think it could be done better. But that's just my own personal opinion.
No, I can completely understand that. It's there has been that drop-off. It's more of, I don't know, like you said, they're cattle. They shuffle from one table to another, and that's how they just get around.
Yeah.
And it loses something with the fans. It's not, like you said, you've been going to fest and conventions for, what, 15 years? I've been doing about 15 years. And I've been doing it, too, and you know, it's just something that keeps, you know, going down a little bit. There's, I don't know, a little disheartening.
Yeah,
you know,
and I also feel like, no, I'm sorry, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was going to say, because think of the bizarre you see. You know, you see me walking around going, hey, how's everything going? It's fine. And you go, what are you doing? I said, well, I know how these events work. I know the rhythm of them. And right now, one room's completely cattle filled, if you would, and I can't get anything done. So I bail out of one room and go to another one.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, and not just because I have involvement with Bizarre AC, but I think that John Henderson and the people that put that show on, they're looking at it a very different way. They understand events, not necessarily just horror events, but events in general. and they realize that you need various programming and things going on and a lot of things to entertain you and spread it out over a big space. I've been to other conventions where you wait, and once again, I'm not trying to trash other conventions. This is a very organic thing that came up tonight because I know you read the same post that I did where people were complaining about conventions. And that kind of, I guess, spurred your idea of doing this broadcast tonight about this topic. And I kind of feel like I've actually gone to events where you're in a line forever, and I look at the line, and you know what I say? Even if I travel 2 hours to get there, I'm not big on waiting in line. I'll go leave. And if I come back and there's still a line, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to really want to meet anyone that bad or peruse products that much that I'd actually go and wait for 2 hours in the line to get into anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. But I think the biggest thing I read on that post and the one we're talking about is people were also complaining about the cost of the autographs. And I want people to understand that, from my understanding, the convention holds no control over what the actors charge. None. Is that correct in that theory?
You know, I once again, I don't know all the inner workings, but from my involvement of working behind the scenes at these events, it really does come down to the artist, what the artist charges for an autograph. So, and I've heard other conventions say this before, you kind of set the price because I don't want to use any particular names, but if you have an artist like, I forget, some of your high-end artists that get $50 or $60 an autograph or picture, if the demand wasn't there at $50 or $60 a picture, they wouldn't have the ability to charge that. Now, I grant you, I think it would affect some people coming out because it might not be worth it to somebody who's on a major network show like a Norman Reedus to even do an event unless he was going to make a tremendous amount of money while he was there, because I imagine he makes a pretty good payday being on the number one show on television right now. So, I mean, there's give and take, but I definitely you can tell certain conventions that you go to. Like, I'll put it right out there. You go to Chiller Theater up in North Jersey, and once again, this is totally my opinion. I'm not a promoter of an event, nor do I necessarily run an event, you know. But I go up to Chiller, and it seems like they don't even want you near the celebrities unless it's at their table. They don't want you getting autographs unless it's at the table. They don't, and it almost takes away from the fan experience. Like, I remember I ran into, like, Adam West in the hallway, and this was, like, 10, 12 years ago. I ran into him in the hallway, didn't ask him for a picture, didn't ask for anything. Went to go shake his hand, he ran away from me like a scared child, like I was going to ask him for something. And I don't think it should be that way. I think when these conventions first started, from what I heard, and I wish I was around at the early ones back in the early 90s, but I heard that you would interact with all these old-time, like, you know, Hammer and Universal monster celebrities, and they would, like, sign anything you had. They barely charged for anything, and it was really about the experience of going out and meeting these individuals, not necessarily making money on every autograph, every picture, what have you.
Well, I mean, I completely understand. I remember hearing back one time, and this is going to sound really weird for a lot of the horror fans on this, and maybe even yourself. I remember back and learning about this one time, Johnny Depp, he's on a show called 21 Jump Street. And there's a lot of these others, you know, Who's the Boss? And it's one of those kind of weird conventions. And everybody decides at one part, well, I'm going to take the break and I'm going to just vanish for the next 2.5 hours. Well, he's sitting there and decides to take the sign down, puts the word free up, and then sits there and gets basically generate his own fan base. If I understand, to this day, he doesn't charge for any kind of autograph. He'll sign whatever anybody puts in front of him. Because he just
really? And that's Johnny Depp that does that, you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Really?
Yeah, I forget where I read it, but I've read it on two different sources, so I have to take it more or less as fact, because two sources, that's verification for me. And they basically stated, everybody else kind of walked off and said, oh, we're just going to go take a break, and he decided, I'm going to stay because there's the fan base, and the fans generate the shows, they get the ratings, and he just figured, put down the sign, put up free, and next thing you know, he's got a fan base.
I got to tell you, that's actually pretty genius. He took advantage of a situation, but I'm not going to lie. Also, you know, Johnny Depp kind of annoys me with that fake English accent. When did he become English?
Yeah.
Or British, rather. You know?
Yeah.
I'd still take a free autograph from him, though. I mean, I'm a fan of his work, but I don't know. Just kind of strange that he has a British accent all of a sudden. But anyway, sorry, brother. I digress.
No, man, I... Hey, like I said, people wanted to have this discussion. They kept saying, that's a new podcast. I'm thinking, hey, it lines perfectly up for my show. So, like, I didn't have a guest this week. My guest canceled out on me last night. So I was like, okay, this is good. I need something to talk about for a while.
Well, thanks, brother. But I just tuned in with you for a couple minutes. I'm going to listen to a few more minutes of the show, and then I got to run back off to work. But, you know, I try to tune in when I can.
Hey, I support that. And, you know, I tuned in to your show. Last week was a little hectic, so I was not able to do that. But you know me, I'll listen to a playback of it.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate every time you listen into the show. And I think it's a great thing that you have going on here tonight with the convention thing. I'm surprised more people aren't calling in, because there must have been 20 people that were talking on that post about horror conventions. And I really wish that they would call in and you know, talk about it, discuss it. It all comes down to what the demand of the people is. If the people don't want to pay that kind of money to the celebrities, then there'll be two choices. Either they won't be able to do the shows anymore, or they're going to drop their rates. So really, it's the people's market.
And that's what I was saying. That's the whole thing right there. You want the price to come down? Stop going to that person's table. Eventually, they'll get the point. If you're charging too much, knock it down, because without your fans, I don't care. You're not going to be popular on the circuit.
Yeah, it's true. And I've seen actors and artists that have done very well. I'm not going to say that. I mean, I think $20 is acceptable for you getting an 8x10 autograph of somebody that they supply. Now you got to look at, even if you run those off at Kinko's, that's going to cost you a pretty penny. And then also, anyone that does the picture with the $20 autograph, I'm not saying that should be the standard for everybody. There's obviously some celebrities that should be able to demand more, but I don't think there's celebrities that should be able to demand five times more. I think there should be kind of more of a fair balance. And I think $20 for a quick handshake, an autograph, and a picture, if you're not, you know, a top 10 in the world celebrity at the time, seems to be quite realistic to me.
I totally agree with you. I mean, we're on the same page on the whole thing, so... Yeah, you know,
I said. Yeah, I mean, because I don't want anybody to work for free either, you know. I don't expect people to just go there and, you know, get whatever it is they get to do, whatever the appearance fee may be, or however that works, because, once again, I'm not involved in all that. But I don't expect anybody to just sit there and sign autographs and, you know, hear about the first time I watched their movie. And there is a certain amount of, you do deserve to get paid for it, because I can only imagine some of the things that they hear from the people at those shows. So they definitely deserve to get paid for it, but not an astronomical figure.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
All right, Ed, I thank you for calling in, and, you know, be safe at work, and you know what?
Hey, thanks,
enjoy your holiday weekend.
You too, man. Always a pleasure, and thanks for having me on, Baron. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, thanks. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, so that was Armageddon Ed. Just to let people know, he does have a show on the Horror Scene Network here. It's on Wednesday night, 7:30. It's a great show. I do advise people to check it out. I normally check it out. Sometimes I have called in. You know, this past week, been a little busy. At the end of the month, I'm writing a lot of reviews. I'm talking to a lot of different people. In fact, now, as many people know, I do the Shredding Metal Beast show. So actually, I spent most of my night, last night, into this morning, talking with a couple band managers for bands over in France and in Germany. So took away from writing to handle that, but, you know, it's all for the fans in the end. So we're now into our 7 o'clock hour, and this is usually when I do the Indiegogo and Kickstarter programs. So we're just going to skip ahead a little here. So here's some paper rustling. That's because that's how the show is. It's all built a certain way. So I have to skip through all these other sections. So much. So we'll get back to what's happening in horror history for today and the week, also the films I've seen and other issues. And again, this entire show tonight is all about horror conventions, festivals, everything like that. So if you call in at any time tonight, we can discuss that, we can discuss other horror films. I'm always willing to do that because basically I'm a horror fan, and the show is for horror fans out there too. And, you know, this is what I do. So, on to the Indiegogo and Kickstarter. We got Codex. It's a Canadian film. They're looking for $22,000 Canadian dollars war chest. They only got $750, and they got 7 days left. They need a ton of help. They've got a partnership with Backstage. Basically, they're just sitting here. They got a love of horror films. They want to bring this film to the surface. They're going to do a lot of things to make it come to the surface. And we've got The Door. Now, the director for this film, Patrick McBreedy, was supposed to be on the show, but last minute he found out that he had to work. He could not make the show time. So we're going to try for another week that he is on. I know the reason why he wanted to be on. He's got 8 days left in the campaign. He needs $6,500 for that war chest, and he's got about $3,300, so he's halfway. The film's going to be done in Toronto, Canada, so it has been very interesting. Basically, at his new job, Owen has one task, to make sure the door never opens. Unfortunately, a bunny goes missing, and Owen and his friends must search beyond the mysterious door. You get one guy, he's either high or drunk, or he saw some tail and he went after it, so he goes, hey, let me go through that door that everybody says I can't go through. Kind of like Adam and Eve a little. Hey, you can have any tree, any apple, except for that one. So what do? I'll have that one. So it's always the way. Okay, then next up is Happy Ending. 16 days left in the project. It's a 30K war chest. They got about $2,700 in, which stars Victoria De Meer. She was in, I think it was a woman in a werewolf prison, or Werewolf in a Woman's Prison, I think was the title. It was a crazy movie. I mean, if you ever get a chance to see it, I mean, it's completely insane, ridiculously insane. It's one of those films you just don't take serious. It's non-serious horror. Maria Olson's also in it. And I'm trying to work up a schedule here to get Maria onto the show. And I'm thinking that could be the 12th. We're still playing with tentative dates and time, so I can't do, you know, make that exact for everybody out there, but I know it's going to happen. And when it does, I hope everybody really listens to it because it's going to be great. The film is one of these insane films. It kind of reminds me of a little of the Stag Night of the Living Dead. Maybe a little Shaun of the Dead. I mean, it's just one of these crazy things. Let me read you this plot line here. A hot and hilarious romp, a sci-fi horror comedy, features the chronicle that what happens when an alien predator invades a remote desert bordello. Already interesting. Forcing working girls and their Johns to fight for their lives and all humanity's survival. You can imagine that John's going, gee, I can either be killed by an alien predator or be killed by my wife who finds out that I was at a bordello. Boy, either way, you're going, which one is worse? I would say for them to take the alien predator as their way out, because if the wife finds out, you could find yourself doing a scene from Bobbit, and that's not going to be really good. Anyway, moving right along, we've got Spill Your Guts. I don't understand this project. I have no clue what this project is really about. It comes from Acid Bath Productions. They're looking for $4 million, the highest thing I've ever seen on Indiegogo. And they only got $202 for it. 23 days are left. It literally says 0% funded. So, I mean, it's basically about some crazy blood-craving lunatic going through New York's political system, carving up politicians for their, you know, indiscretions, if you would, and that's really the whole film. And this is part two, so what? Part one costs, what, $2 million to make? I don't think so. I really think the $4 million must be a typo because it doesn't make any sense why that amount's there. Next up is Sandcastle Pictures. They're making their first feature film. Let me tell you what happened here. They had three choices of titles. They have now officially selected the title. The fans voted on it. The title is going to be The Evil in Us. It's going to have a 2015 release, which means they're already filming it. So the funds being gathered now are either probably for post-production work or maybe added blood and gore. So I've seen some of the photos and some of the video to it, and it's got a lot going on in there. Basically, you've got six friends that go off to a remote island off the Washington coast, celebrate the 4th of July. And, well, basically the harmless weekend turns into a complete drug-infested nutcase thing happening with bioactive drugs transforming everyone into raving psychopaths. Okay, psychopaths could be a little dangerous. Now, if you're a fan of this show, then you are considered by the Baron Craze to be one of the loyal lunatics. Because let's face it, everybody kind of likes a lunatic. A psychopath, a little bit more out there, a little too dangerous. Hey, you just tell me, hey, I'm just a fun-loving, crazy lunatic. Oh, you must be with the Baron Craze. So, yes, just throwing that out there. Okay, moving right along, we've got, I'm going to skip one and come back to it because I'm going to give a little pitch about it again, and I don't know why it's not doing well. We have Mermaid Down, fully funded. That's right, folks. It's been fully funded. It got its 100K. Mermaid ripped from the Pacific, whose tail is brutally hacked off with a fisherman's axe. Then she's thrown into a mental home for disturbed women. I guess some guys would actually want to throw their wives into a disturbed place because they're already thinking once a month they go a little disturbed. But basically no one believes she's a mermaid. So it's an interesting film. It's got a lot of people who have signed on to the project that if they got its funding, they would do what they said they would do for the film. So it's got a lot of people who have a lot of awards. Some of those people have gotten the Oscar. So you know there's a lot of backing to that. Then up is Scream Machine from Scarlett Fry, who was on the show a couple weeks back. Basically, he's looking for a war chest of almost $3,300. He's got $490 into it, 14 days left. He's really trying to get backing for bringing four new Twisted Anthology films to the screen. Next up, Country Road, fully funded. It's at $4,450. It was only looking for about $3,500, so it's 127% funded. 15 days are still left to give it more money. You got actors like Kip Weeks, Sharon Smith Lentz, Christine Marshall. Basically, you have a taxi driver who takes an unusual fare leading onto a terrifying night on a lonely Maine road. And if everybody's been up in Maine at night, some of those roads, a little scary. Of course, not like the ones in Jersey. There are some really scary roads there. I'll be talking about that later when I talk about the Jay's Horror Happens Film Fest. It's going to be a hell of a little discussion. I'll get to it right after I get done the Indiegogo and Kickstarter films here. Next up is Caesar and Otto's Paranormal Halloween. This is from Dave Canfield. This guy's kind of nuts. Anyway, he's got about $3,100 into the 4K war chest, and he's got 15 days left on it. So basically people are enjoying this because basically got another call here, folks. Let me see who this is. Okay. Hello, you're on with Baron.
Hey, Baron, what's going on? This is Brian Enright.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good. I wasn't sure what time the show started tonight, but I know we put something up on Facebook yesterday, and it was one of the main topics for your show tonight, and I figured I'd join you for a little bit.
That's great. And I think everybody knows what this topic is. It's about the horror conventions, rising costs, and the autographs. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You know, being fans of Monster Mania, I've been going, you know, for so many years, and I got to say, it's been a steady decline ever since the prices of admissions went up, the autographs went up, and now they charge for pictures. It's like, I don't know what's going on, but it seems that John Henderson with the Bizarre AC crew seems to be keeping the horror conventions alive. And I guess after what I'm trying to say is after going to Bizarre AC, it's kind of hard for me to go to any other local conventions around here and not want to compare it.
Well, you know, I had Ed on just a little while ago, and we both were talking about this. And where John has an advantage over the others, he runs, and people don't know this, he runs about maybe three or four events during the year. So he's really in tune of how they work and how the people react and what they want. So he's got a little bit more of a, I want to say, a little bit more of a flair for how to do the event.
Yes.
And you know, just to also throw it out there, I mean, the other ones are getting down to, you know, charging for everything. I'm waiting for people soon to start charging for the bottle of water or maybe even for, hey, you want to use the bathroom? That's going to be another $10. It's only a matter of time you start charging stuff.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it seems like the celebrities that they're getting, not Bizarre AC, I'm talking about like Monster Mania Chiller. It seems like they're recycling the Walking Dead cast. And they're using that as a gateway to make profit.
Yeah, I mean, as I was stating earlier, there's a Walking Dead, you know, one. I think it's going to be in Atlanta. They're going to have that play the baby of Rick's on the show. I'm like, what? how do they play factor? I mean, what are you going to be able to contribute to the discussion?
Hey, it's the parents are trying to cash in on it.
Oh, I know. It's the parents trying to cash in. Come on. It's obvious that.
It's the same deal with Macaulay and Webster and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people get upset that, you know, these stars are charging like $60 sometimes for them. And they're dressed just like you and I when we go and we go to these events. And I go saying, it was a two-edged sword. And I'm curious what your opinion is. Do you think the actors should be dressed as their characters that they're most known for, or should they be allowed to just dress as average, you know, folk?
Huh. I don't know. It all depends on, what's going on, what they're infamous for. I mean, if it was Freddy Krueger, you know, Robert Englund, you know, he did dress up as Freddy Krueger, but that's another point. I think it's halfway. You know, I think if it's a major character that wears a mask and he's notorious for wearing that mask, maybe he should go to the convention without the mask, but keep the mask next to him. But I mean, like Walking Dead, I think they should dress up as the Walking Dead characters because you won't know who they are unless you walk in and see a banner behind them saying, you know, this person was from Walking Dead. It's $40 an autograph.
Right. But, you know, again, you know, people were saying about the rising cost of autographs, and I've been going to Monster Mania and a bunch of these for years now, and it's always been from my understanding that, once again, conventions don't set the prices. The actors do. So
yeah.
If you don't like the price, you know, then don't go to that person's table. There's nothing else you can do. You know, don't buy the merchandise. Don't buy any of it. Just stop.
Yeah.
And eventually that person will probably get the concept through their head, you would think, and go, hey, I've gone to 4 conventions and I didn't make any money. Maybe your price is too high. Maybe you should lower the price. You know.
So what's
go ahead. No, you first.
You
called in the show. You're the guest.
The people running the conventions, they don't pay the celebrities or, you know,
I don't know about all that. I presume they pay them something. I mean, why else would these celebrities show up? I presume there's some sort of pay that does happen behind the scenes. I'm not aware of that. My job when I go to a convention is usually just to report on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nicely from that standpoint, as press, yes, I can take a picture of a celebrity. I'm allowed because I'm press. So I do get around the rule a little bit because, you know, with the cameras that I use and people in press use, gee, we could stand across the room and take that photo and never have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not using that photo really to get an autograph or something out of it. We're using it to report about the event.
Yeah.
But I got to assume there's something that happens behind the scenes, some lieu of money, you know, whether it's for the transportation, hotel stay, a fee, I don't know. That's for somebody else who's in the business. If they wanted to give that up, they would. But I probably think it's a trade secret.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to mention was the vendors. I noticed at Monster Mania, I was a little upset. I went with my fiance, and we went to Monster Mania, and the vendors, all the tables had to close up at 7 o'clock. We found out that they opened up at 10 a.m. on Saturdays, and my question to you is, during the summertime, who goes to the Cherry Hill Crown Plaza at 10 o'clock in the morning to go out and buy DVDs? I think, you know, it should be fair to the vendors because they're paying money for their tables to set up and, you know, respectfully open up around noon when, you know, people are awake on a Saturday and maybe stay open till, like, you know, 8 or 9 or 10.
Well, I remember a time, I don't know which convention it was, and I do apologize for that, but there was a time when you would, say, pay an extra $10, and you'd be more of a VIP shopper, and you would go in early, so it wasn't like you had the crowd to battle with. You got to go into the room for about an extra 90 minutes, and these were the hardcore shoppers. These were the people who were going to spend $300 for that unique item. And they wanted to get in, get it, and get it out without bending. Because, you know, look, we went to Monster Mania once, and you saw how the lines were inside the rooms with the vendors. I mean, we lost contact with each other, and we had been standing next to each other for 5 minutes. We go around one of the corners. I don't know. You were down the – you got lost. I don't know what happened to you. I kept looking over people's heads going, oh, I know he's short and everything. What happened? Did he get trampled? But, yeah, I mean, in those vendor rooms, it literally packs them in really tight. And Ed was saying it feels like people are cattled into them. They're in a cattle chute, and they're just – there's no way really to manage and move. You don't feel comfortable in the room. I don't. I mean, you want to hear and talk to an artist who does some sort of drawing or something, you can't. You literally have to wait for that person to come out of those vendor rooms to actually have some sort of intelligent conversation with them, because it's just too tight in there.
Yeah.
So at that point, it looks to me that the conventions are looking at how many places can they put a table. And I guess under some kind of rule with Crowne Plaza, they can't put vendor tables in the lobby. There must be some sort of rule about fire code or something. Because right now, they've got to be violating a fire code in those rooms, because there's no way out.
Yeah.
But anyway, said, I mean, there was a lot of people discussing it on Facebook last night, and as I tell people here, my guest canceled out because he had to work. So I thought it was a pretty cool topic to have on the air.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great topic because, I mean, what do us fans do? We watch all these horror movies. We get into the horror news. We're always, you know, copying off each other. Either it's Dead Central, FearNet, Horror Society, Horror Scene. You know, these conventions are, you know, once or maybe three times a year where we all get together so we can, you know, splurge and just and do what we love to do. And coming from a horror fan, I don't want to wake up 10 a.m. on Saturday. I mean, it'd be nice if they did a $10 extra for people to go in early for the vendors. But, you know, Saturdays, I want to enjoy myself, maybe go out to lunch and then go to the convention. And then when I'm at the convention, you know, I would like to stay late. And, you know, vendors can also make money if they're open past 7 o'clock. You know, if they're open till 10, they close up shop and they go to the, what do they do at Monster Mania? Rocky Horror Picture Show at 12? You know, it's like there's nothing to do once they close at 7 except to go see, you know, maybe like one or two Q&As, and that's about it.
Well, yeah, also the other thing is a lot of times at these conventions, you also have a lot of people who will, especially with the vendors, on Sundays, they're already packing it up by noon. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. The event doesn't end till 5, and then you do have the luxury of then breaking everything down. You're not shoved out of the room. You have your breakdown, say 2 hours more, to break all your gear down. Why are you packing everything up around 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't understand that. but, you know, like I said, the cost, though, the main point of this conversation is the cost. And that cost is, yes, it's rising. Like Chiller and a few others all around the country, I understand, are charging $70 to maybe even $90 now for people to go to the event. And that's getting crazy.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But, you know, Hopefully we collect more horror fans, and, you know, now because we have the wonderful world of the Internet, anyone can have free access while it's available, have free access to looking up movies from the past, you know, discovering, you know, movies that already have a cult status and, you know, helping that movie out, you know, 30-something years later after the original release, you know. But, you know, but hopefully things get better for the horror conventions, and then hopefully the prices will, you know, be a little bit cheaper because, hey, I mean, you know, a lot of us horror fans don't necessarily have the money to you know, go do it. But we know since it's once, or you know, since it only happens like 3-4 times a year, we're willing to spend whatever money it costs just to be there.
Oh yeah, that's the main thing. You know, the horror fans are dedicated and they're serious about their love for the entire genre, so they're always going to be out there. And people have to realize that. That's just something that you know, the horror fans are truly loyal. It's people always think it's just horror fans are just a bunch of people who like to wear black and we're all kind of raving lunatics, which as most parts as most of us are. But in the end, it's just a matter of saying we're dedicated. It's a lifestyle. We like it. We're always watching horror movies. I mean, I know I am. I can't remember the last time I saw just a straight-up comedy film that wasn't a horror film in some way.
Yeah.
So,
me neither. But, all right, well, I'll let you go back to the rest of the show. I wanted to chime in with the horror convention. I know I was a little late, but, you know, thank you for having me on your show. It was a pleasure.
You're always welcome to call in, Brian. Like any horror fan, everybody's always welcome to call in, and we can talk about whatever topic of horror you want to talk about.
All right. All right, Baron, I'll check with you soon, okay?
All right. Have a good night and good, safe weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
Yep. All right, so that was Brian Enright. He works at the Horror Scene also. Basically the editor for a lot of things that happen at the Horror Scene. Pretty cool guy. Like I said, he does a lot of great things. Really helped design the Horror Scene page. And, you know, hearing you talk about this, you know, you can find it online. Definitely check it out. We got a section there. Some women may like, some women may hate. We have the section there for the horror babes. So it's really interesting. Actually, there's a lot of women who want to be on that. So I'm not too sure of how we go through the criteria on that. I should have asked Brian that. But that's for another discussion another time. Tonight's discussion for the entire show is about horror conventions, the rising cost of the autographs, the entire way the fans are being treated by the convention people. And again, you know, we got great conventions out there and you got bad conventions. And that goes across the country. Of some of these conventions that have been going on for 30 events or 30 years of doing their thing, I guess maybe in a way you're really starting to take advantage of the situation. I'm not trying to badmouth any convention because I don't know what are the details behind them, but this all comes off of a major, long, involved post that was done on Facebook last night. And, you know, if you want to talk about it, hey, feel free to call in about it. If you want to promote your own horror project, again, you can do that too. The number here is 347-857-3667. To the Indiegogo, because that's where everything is always important for funding these projects. Just to let people know that Blood Reservoir has been fully funded. Still got 9 days left on this campaign, but it's got been 121% funded for the project. Now, I want to go back to this other one that I skipped, Ligeia. Now, a lot of people go, Baron, you talk about Ligeia every damn week. What the hell do you want from us? Okay, Ligeia is an interesting film of Poe. The story of Poe. And Alexander Emmert is doing the narration. He's the writer, the director. He's basically a Poe aficionado. He read this story many times in his life, and he's always gotten further and deeper into Poe. And he really wants to make the story dedicated to Poe, going from really a literal translation of it to film. What's been happening is the film has been struggling to get funding. They got 9 days left on it. They got a close to $23,000 war chest, and they only got about $1,500. I think they finally realized what was their main issue in doing the film was their pitch. The pitch video was nice. It was interesting. It was set in cemeteries, but it didn't provide enough to get there. And from what I understand, talking with the filmmakers, and they've been on the show, is that now, 9 days to the end, they finally generated that buzz on Twitter, Facebook, you know, every place. They're just really gaining all this attention. That's great. Now they got to get that to translate into dollars. So they may have to do a little reworking of this project and get an extension on this and refile it. Because in one part, Indiegogo itself had the wrong figures down. Pitch video, I think, is being changed and being updated. There's a lot more videos on the site, Indiegogo, for this project like GM. So you should check that out. You know, because, again, you're making this real passionate call for this. And, yes, I am. Because this is a film. This is a Poe film. And if you're from Philly and you've gone to the Poe house, and if you haven't, I don't know what to do with you. I really don't know. That's just something sick that you have not gone to the Poe house. It's just one of those things. I've done a lot of scouting around Philly. You know, been down to, I think, Laurel Cemetery. It's just something. They got, you know, two beautiful actresses that are willing to do the film, Kirsten DeLuca and Victoria Gates. This is just a really great thing, and I know they're trying to get it done, and so I'm making this impassionate call to people. Look, I'm not in the film. I have nothing connected with the film. I am a Poe fan, so this is something that I think people would like. I know it's a lesser-known work of Poe's. I think there's only been two movies that ever have done this film, and they kind of stray away. So definitely check it out on Indiegogo. Watch the videos. You actually hear me interviewing the, you know, Kristen and Victoria and even Alexander into some of these. And I was really nice with them. They did one with Crash Palace also, which is a really long interview. So, again, check it out. And if you want to fund it, fund it. And if you don't, well, then you don't. All right, moving right along. Didn't find anything really on Kickstarter this week. And I looked over to GoFundMe. We still have the Not Your Average Ice Cream Truck from Carnage and Grin, both creepy clowns. Seems that their project is stalled out at $633 of a $2,000 war chest. They wanted to take an ice cream truck, redo it up, make it kind of ghastly and everything else, and they just seem to be stuck now at that price. Also, Melina Quigley, on her Save My Family Home. Well, she's been doing the project for 3 months. She's had 169 folks contribute to it. She's at $62.55 of $18K. Looks like the project has stalled out. Going to go back now, and we're just going to go over a couple of things that happened in horror today and slash the week. And this comes from friends of the show, Fear Shop. And I do thank them. Great site to go check it out. They do a great podcast over there, too. People say, Baron, why are you telling us about other podcasts? Because I believe in being honest with all horror fans. There's a lot of different things you can check out online and a lot of things you can listen to and enjoy. And, you know, in today's economy where things are tight, you know, there's a lot of places online. I always go to them and tell you where they are to watch free movies. And if you want to hear other things, you know, you should do it. Just to kind of note this out there, I doing a lot of tweeting this past month. Actually, my lunatic followers have been helping me on this, and I really appreciate that a lot from them. And they know who they are. You know, Vincent's one, Jessica calls in the show a lot, and then there's one woman, Amy. She's out on the West Coast. She can never call in because of the timing for the show and when she works. So I do understand that. But they do a lot, and they're part of what we call now the Lunatic Army. Craze. I don't know where that came up. One of them started talking about it, and I guess they just decided, okay, three lunatics, and there's probably many more of you, and I do thank you all for listening to the show. But it was a big stink about one of the posts I made. Someone goes, well, I wasn't, you know, in that film. Well, yeah, so what? You like horror movies. I understand the problem. So the first thing basically stopped saying is, yeah, but I stopped reading it once I realized I didn't do that movie. I wasn't interested in that. Okay, so you only read things where you're involved in them. Okay. Had somebody else go, oh, I never covered this film, and I never covered it, so why should I cover it now? You know, I asked you to cover it. I just thought your profile said you like horror. Okay, well, this is a horror movie review, so I figured I'd tag you. But if you don't want that, that's fine. I got a little weirdness from some people. So moving right along for this day in horror. And we only got about an hour left of the show. It's been a great show. I'm loving how we've got people calling in. It's great. Topic has been really a good topic for tonight. And I always like trying to find something that people like. So let's get over to this day in horror history. So for August 29th, we had the actress Ingrid Bergman, who was in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in 41. She was born today. William Friedkin, the director of Exorcist, Rampage, The Guardian, Bug, he was born today. Also, Joe Schumacher, the director of Lost Boys, born today. And then, of course, we have probably the greatest nanny ever, ever, Rebecca De Mornay. You know, obviously, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. What a family fun film that was. Well, she was born today. She's also been in Identity, The Salem Witch Trials, Apartment 1303, and she's doing another horror film that will be done somewhere in 2016 called Killing Frank. But anyway, she is a great nanny, great one in that film. Every mother could just completely love her in that movie. Also, moving on for tomorrow, we got David Palmer, The Twix, Drag Me to Hell, Night of the Creeps. He was born, his birthday will be tomorrow. I just want to also mention that Raymond Massey was born also on the 30th in a great year of 1896. He did The Old Dark House and Arsenic and Old Lace, both kind of the karma comedies, if you would. Also, for tomorrow, for a lot of Frankenstein fans, Mary Shelley was born. She's responsible for the novel, The Character, The Story of Frankenstein. She was born in 1797. I think it would be great for a lot of horror fans to watch the original Frankenstein to really get into it. Now, when I say the original, of course, I'm talking about the 1910 version. That's right. 1931 will just do just as well for that version. Also, for a couple of the lunatics and psychopaths out there, on the 31st, Bassett Case was released in 83. Also, we had Halloween, the 2007 version, was released also on the 31st. Moving right along and turning into next week, we've got September 1st, and you have The Hunchback of Notre Dame from 39 was released. But now here's something that's really interesting, and you know, I found this interesting. On September 2nd, in 1923, The Hunchback of Notre Dame was released, which was obviously the 1923 version. I just find it interesting. There's two films, same titles. One's a remake. One's obviously the original. And they're separated by one day in horror history. So that's always interesting. A lot of people also know that on September 2nd in 1978, Dawn of the Dead was released, which was a really nice. Moving right along, on the 3rd, we have a couple weird things that happened here. Namely, we have Anne Jackson, who is known for her role in The Shining, was born. Agnes Sutherland for Lost Boys, The Tribe, also was born. And if we really want to get down to things, we can go all the way back to September 3rd in 1902. Mantan Moreland was born. He did King of the Zombies, Revenge of the Zombies. Getting a theme there, folks. And, of course, the Spider Baby. And if you ever seen that film, it's a pretty weird film to watch. Okay, now September 4th, really important day in horror history. In 1948, Michael Berryman was born to grace the horror pages. And I just did this little thing here, and I hope people like it. So basically, we got Michael Berryman, who heads the brutal, the family, I mean, these are films he's been in. He's worshiping the Lords of Salem. He basically found out that Satan hates you, and he begged people to visit him at the Hills Have Eyes, where he stayed as a tenant and became a mass maker. I mean, you know, basically, all those titles I just named, those are all something like maybe 52 horror films. In 53, he's constantly making them. So definitely check out his work. You can watch so many horror films that he's been in, like Below Zero. I think he was in also Necros, which I did a review of on Rogue Cinema, so you can definitely check that out. So let's move along to what's coming out in on DVD and in the theater. So right now we know that As Above, So Below has been released. It's a wide release. That means you can see it anywhere at any time right now. miles of twisting catacombs beneath the streets of Paris, and basically home to countless souls. Now, I know there's other films that have been done about this. I think one was actually called Catacombs. This seems to be a better film, more into it, so I want people to really check that one out. Next up, we got The Dam from IFC Midnight. Basically, this is so-so story. We got a car accident leaves family, stranded in a run-down, isolated inn. So we have an old innkeeper, we have a young girl in the basement, we have kind of weird things happening, and we have it all wrecking havoc all over the place. How nice! Then we got Jamie Marks is dead. He is? She is? Oh, no, what are we going to do? All comes from Gratis Ventures. Really cool company, by the way. Really want to give them a great shout-out. They're really friendly. Do send me films. I do thank them a lot for what they do. Just a really cool company. This one basically had, basically have here is a budding romance, deep connections for Jamie. And, of course, that always brings people closer to the undead. That's all I'm going to say. Well, that and there's a ghost. But it sounds interesting. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't give you a great definition of it. Here's another one, Aftermath from RLJ/Image Entertainment. Devastating horror of a nuclear apocalypse becomes a reality. Nine strangers find themselves holed up in a farmhouse cellar. And as the supplies dwindle and the radioactive air is increasing, the greatest threat of all, the horde of zombies outside the door. Knock, knock, who's there? It's zombie time. All right, moving right along, we've got Blood Gracer from IFC/MPI. Basically, it's kind of like, an environmental horror film, if you would. We have a climate observation station high up in the German Alps. One of the scientists begins preparing the outpost for a visit an environmental minister, and basically things start going a little out of control with some biological monstrosities that are going to leave some people surviving and some people struggling to survive this onslaught. All right, so then we've got for our clown fans out there, Bongo Killer Clown. Kind of like the Sloppy the Psychotic Clown, but this one's called Bongo Killer Clown. It comes from Lost Empire Films. Basically, a teen mom creates a monster in her child, fueled by the voice of a TV clown, and basically goes on a small killing spree with some cannibalistic themes running through it, and all just because they wanted to have him incarcerated in an asylum. Well, how dare you decide what other people want to do with their lives? Next up, from Echo Bridge, comes Don't Look Down. This was a 1998 TV movie produced by Wes Craven. Sisters Carla and Rachel are going to the mountains to visit with Carla's husband for a vacation. And we're going to have some interesting banter occur. We're going to have some haunting from Rachel's memory, some terror of the heights. We've got a little vertigo playing in here. Seems to be an interesting little film. I do advise you to check it out. Again, it was produced by Wes Craven. From Wild Eye Releasing, Dysmorphia, siblings find their dead uncle's secret stash of VHS tapes. Okay. Now, look, I just had an uncle of mine pass away, and I found a secret stash of tapes, too, but I don't think they were like this. You know, the Gruesome Dares, Patricide, Demonology, Monstrous Fruits, many more horrors. I mean, these are what these tapes are. I guarantee the tapes that I found were not like this. They were old-school films. Let's just put it that way. Just really happy films. Really, really, really happy, happy films. Okay? This comes from executive producer James Cohen of Bressack. Next up is Exposure from Spectra Records. Everything falls apart. For models going missing, businessmen use stem cells as biometric stock for a new skin cream in search of the Fountain of Youth, starring Corey Feldman. Well, now we know what Corey did. So we've got from Phoenix Pictures, House of Mirrors. Basically, we have a music executive who's seeming for the perfect life is all turned upside down, waking up in his mansion. Seems that he's going to have a little trouble handling his life and committing murders in his spare time. So, sounds interesting. I don't know. Don't seem to really get most of it. The artwork for the box, okay. Now, here's one I thought was really funny, and I'm going to try to do this one in the way it was done for the copy that it's making. It comes from Camp Motion Pictures. It is called My Fair Zombie. In this zombie comedy, basically an alternative to the Edwinian England infested by zombies, a professor of basically attempts to teach a zombie woman, English lady. You know, basically this is My Fair Lady, which was a musical, and this is their form of My Fair Zombie. So it's a hilarious film. They stay with gore-soaked results. The tagline is this. I'm going to try to do this as best I can. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the rains. Okay. That was my version of the tagline. Moving right along, from Full Moon, we have PMS Cop. Wow, you go from My Fair Zombie to a PMS Cop. Okay. Basically, it's a thriller story involving somebody getting basically beatily brooding a clown rapist. Oh, God, so this is going to be an interesting mess. And there's a new menstrual wonder drug causing people to go a little bit crazy. And there's people, of course, women. So it's going to be interesting. Then we have The Possession of Michael King from Anchor Bay. And basically, Michael King doesn't believe in God or the devil. Why not? They're the same person. Following the sudden death of his wife. Here we go. Again, last week we had five stories about people having sudden death of wives. The documentary filmmaker decides to make his first film about the search of a existence of the supernatural and makes himself the center of the experiment. That is never a good move to do. Just watch the Muir House, and you'll know that that wasn't a good move to do. So basically, it's basically a paranormal film involving himself and not wanting to let go of the death of his wife. Next up for our people who live in either Washington or Denver is from, it's called Pot Zombies 2. So there was a Pot Zombie 1, and I didn't even know about that one. Marijuana smokers turn into zombies with the munchies for human flesh. Ooh, that's always nice. And a strain of radioactive pot infects stoners of America. Okay, that's it. That's all they have on that one. Okay, moving right along, we have the crazy title of President Wolfman from Wild Eye Releasing. Wouldn't expect anything less from this studio. Basically, we just have a guy who's president, and he's doing some serious, grisly murders around the Capitol. I mean, talk about a guy getting things done, at least, in Washington. He may have to tear a few people apart, but at least he's getting things done. All right, moving right along, we have Revelation Trail from Entertainment One. Basically, it's in the late 19th century, a holy man known only as the Preacher, played by Daniel Ben Thompson, confronts unspeakable evil in a gruesome power consumes the frontier. Okay, kind of Western horror. Then we have Sanctuary, quite a conundrum, from Midnight Releasing. I just put in to try to get this film. I most likely will. It should have just been a normal day of sex, fun, alcohol, hormones, debauchery for Tabitha and Mimi. But the so-called normalcy gets tossed out the window when the unexpected devastating event occurs at a nighttime pool party. Ooh, I wonder what it could be. I guess somebody didn't have the right bathing suit on when they went into the pool, or they were an uninvited guest. Moving right along, now this was an interesting, weird to see that it got released. It's got to be re-released, or it's going with another major studio. The film's called Scare Zone. Well, this comes from author now of The Serpentine Fire, John Benowitz, and I'm working to get him on the show also. It's from Eagle One Media, and basically it involves a haunted house going a little bit really gory, and that's good. I want people to go for the gore. An interesting kind of film. I saw it at the Terror Film Festival back, I think, in 2007. So for it to come out now, that's great. I do want people to go out and watch it. and take what you want from it. Next up, I'm just going to mention these. There's been a release of The Twilight Zone, the complete 80s series has been released. Also, Walking Dead, the complete fourth season has been released. Also, Sono Profondo from Brink Vision. After murdering a woman, a killer is traumatized from his childhood memories and gets a mysterious envelope slipped under his door. Ooh, how interesting. And lastly, you just noted here, is Zombex from NAMP. It's basically post-Katrina New Orleans that's now having a small problem with zombies. It features Malcolm McDowell and Corey. Let's see, we got about 38 minutes of the show left. Got a lot to get done, so I'm going to have to ask people not to call into the show for the rest of the time. Have a lot to get in here. Just to let people know, I saw about 21 horror films this past week. I saw Blood Knight, Lake Dead, Tin Can Man, Chastity Bites, Night of the Creeps, Mimic, Dark Man, Ghosts of Mars, Pet Cemetery 2, Rope, a Hitchcock film from 48, really interesting. The Haunted Palace from 63 with Vincent Price. Hell Night, House 2, the second story, ooh. I actually caught a thing of Kojak, I think it was on YouTube, a couple of the Night Stalker series. It was okay. Then, of course, I saw, in honor of its anniversary, Chud. Then, moving right along here, see here. And this is a little messed up, but let's see what else I can find for you folks. Do want to mention the Jay's Horror Happenings Film Fest. Let me touch on that. I saw that at the Washington Theater in Washington, New Jersey. You know, I used the Scout directions on my phone to get up there, and I got to tell you, folks, I'm on some damn back roads at some point. I'm going through places where it really looks like you're in a horror movie. There's no street lights. There's nothing. The house is set so far back that, you know, you can basically kill somebody there or do some other things to people, and they go ahead and scream. My neighbors can't hear you for about 3 acres. So really weird place, a lot of back roads, winding. You know, you don't know what's around the bend. You're just hoping that you're not in the horror movie because it really feels like you are at one point. Then on my way to the actual event, the directions again tell me to get off a major highway, go down, and, I mean, within seconds, I'm looking up in my place and going, that house was in the Eaten Alive movie, and this house over here is a barn that's got, literally, went down the road, was opened up, there were four chainsaws hanging from the door. Four chainsaws on the door. I was like, I am not stopping for a photograph. I'm just getting the hell out of here. Go down another road, it's all winding, it's crazy. Get through one spot. I swear, I thought I was going to be entering a cave to go through it. So one lane, meaning only one car can go through at a time, little, underpass. I mean, it was a crazy route. The theater is a theater that needs a lot of work. I understand the owner of the theater is going to be doing a Kickstarter program for it. He needs a lot of work. The ceiling was leaking. There was a lot of damage in the building. But the films fit the building great. The fest was wonderful. It was Q&A sessions. Jay did a fantastic job. I mean, there was a lot of cool films. There were shorts, long ones. You had Nailbiter, which I've already seen, from Patrick Rhea. You had Zombie from Bill Cunningham, an incredible film that's really like Jeffrey Dahmer story-like. And I hear they're making that zombie movie into a full-length feature film, so that should be really creepy, especially if Bill's playing the title role, and he should. You know, you had Day 9 that played there, which had music from Vlad the Inhaler, which is kind of like a metal band. Just movie after movie. It was just constant, like an assembly line of films. There was Infliction from Jack Thomas Smith that played, so that was really cool to watch again. And actually, one person left the theater early because they said, it's too gruesome, it's too gory, it's too sick. Got their $10 back. I mean, that was fantastic. I've never seen that at a film fest before. Somebody gets up and walks out and says, I demand my money back. That's too gory. You went to a horror film festival. What were you thinking? We're going to show you the PG-13 films? Yes, that's what you thought. Did you get that? No. So, you know, that, I thought it was great that happened to that person. I really do think that's wonderful. But it was a great fest. I'm looking forward to seeing if he does it again next year. The crowd on hand was light at times, but it started, started to pick up near the night times. That was great. About probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the crowd really started thickening up really well. It's just a really hard thing where the parking's a little tough there. The location maybe, the building. It was just a lot of things you just had to watch out for. But it was a really cool place. A lot of people went to it. So I just really hope that a lot more people support Jay in the Horror Happenings Film Festival. I'll be writing an article on it and having it out probably first week of September. So just moving right along here, just for people to know, there are horror film festivals occurring all the time all around the world, so everybody should be aware of that. You can find them out at the Horror Conventions News site on Facebook. And as for the tattoo festivals, there are 51 tattoo festivals happening in the month of September. 15, though, are in the United States. The other 38 are not. It's very easy to figure that math out, isn't it? So people understand, a couple things about why do I give this out. There's a lot of tattoo fans out there. Get ones for the Freddies, the Jasons, and everything else, as we were talking earlier in the show. You're kind of paying homage to that. Maybe, what I think would be pretty cool is to take a lot of that old movie poster art out there, the Blood-Sucking Freaks, Chud, a lot of those kind of films, and add that into a really incredible tattoo or something for the back or something that really tells the history of horror. So I think that would be cool for a lot of people to do. Basically, 40% of people under the age of 40 have at least one tattoo, and the tattoo business, just to throw it out there, is a $1.6 billion industry annually. You want to find out about the tattoo events, you can go to www.worldtattooevents.com. Just to let people know what's going on this weekend in Boston, Tattoo Convention is happening right now from today to the 1st. It's the 13th annual one. You can find it at bostontattooconvention.com. Also, if you're a Hasselview Tattoo Show in Arizona, their 7th annual, again this weekend, so definitely check that out. One Nation Under Ink Tattoo Convention, their 3rd in Long Beach, Washington. Again, that's happening on the 31st, the 30th and the 31st. And you can find that on onenationunderink.net. Next up is Body Art Expo in San Francisco show. That's going to be happening September 5th and 7th at Daly City, California. You can find it at bodyartexpo.com. And lastly here, we have Meeting of Marked. That's going to be Meeting of the Marked. It's happening in Pittsburgh, PA. It's the first weekend here in September, the 5th through the 7th in Monroeville, Pennsylvania. And the site is tattoopgh.com. Just to let people know, also in September, we've got an event here, 12th through the 14th, of Blood and Babes Expo. It's at 1504 Old Country Road, Westbury, New York. You can find it on this website here, the Long Island Collectors Expo.com. And you're going to have collectors who are going for the B horror movies, Grindhouse, Hot Babes, Sultry Vixens, Sexy Playboy Playmates, Cyber Girls, Glamour Supermodels, including WWE Divas, Fantasy, Pinup, Comedy, Cosplay, Sci-Fi, Horror, again, Playboy, Hustler, all of it's going into this thing. It's all set at a shopping mall. Why not? Nice place to meet families. You got a lot of guests going for this. Holly Pocket, Sybil Danning, Donna Spear, Nina Peoples, Dawn Lynn, Mike Mahoney did Sloppy, A Dark Place Inside, which also was, by the way, at the J. Horror Happenings Film Fest. Chris Dalbay, Sir John Odassi, Katrina Wood, Raven and Lexi, Susie Lorraine, Scott Perry, Debbie Rochan. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Of course, the scream queen of all the new here is Genevieve Rossi. In the body bag this week, which is my form of the mailbag, two films. One's in from Phase 4 called The Return, and the other one comes from Anchor Bay / Radius 2. Blue Ruin, which some people will remember, was on a limited release, and unfortunately that release came nowhere near me, so I cannot see it. Also, people were talking about cost and everything to let people know there's a lot of horror movies out there that you can see free. You can go to YouTube. There's a lot of horror movies there, most of them for trauma movies, so that's very good. You got realtvnetwork.com / horrorhotel.php. You have B, C, and Z grade movies. You can go to blackflag.tv. It gets about 50,000 viewers free, and I understand he's setting up a channel for Roku. It'll be interesting to see if that goes through. Also, you can go to topdocumentaryfilms.com. That's for anything like Crosby or ghost storytelling. Or you want to see a really creepy little film, just watch Purity Balls, I think it's called, and you want to see something really effed up, and that's what you can watch. I saw that, and I'm just like, it's not horror, but it's just really twisted, and I can make that into horror, by the way. Next up, Cryptic TV is redoing their website. It went from 154 Grindhouse classics to 7 films. That's not good. Get that back up there. Come on, there was a lot of great films. Why did you do that? Anyway, you got Popcorn Flicks, Viewsteer, Filmcom, Hulu, Snag Films, and, of course, again, YouTube for a lot of free movies. Okay, I wasn't going to touch on this. I've got a couple minutes, so I am going to. A horror fan sent this to me, and basically it's kind of disturbing, so this is part of the show. We call it Nutcases. For a couple weeks now, we haven't had any. Seems enough cases were all behaving themselves. Well, guess what? A couple of them decided to jump off the normal, sane plane of life and become completely crazy. So, we got Brian Fisher, who states here, Robin Williams was demon-possessed. Brian works for the American Family Association and has a talk radio show called Focal Point. Well, I can tell here his focal point is the tip of his nose, and the point that he's talking about should be shoved up through a cavity in his body. It basically stated that Robin Williams handed himself over to Satan in order to help his career and ultimately led to his death by suicide. Really? Hey, Brian, have you ever heard of depression? It can drive people to do, maddening things. And, just pouring down this kind of hate onto this great actor and comedian. Yes, well, he didn't do any horror films. He did do Insomnia and One Hour Photo, two incredible dramatic films of psychological thrillers. And as anybody knows, psychological thrillers is just another word for a horror film, really. So, Brian, what I would like to ask you to do is to join hands with Pat Robertson, who's also talked about demon possessions a lot, and you two should just go off hand in hand, skipping down the path, and find the first stake in the ground and either stake each other out or, just get the hell out of everybody's face because you're just completely sick. And just to note, Pat Robertson, he has stated that horror movies can and will lead to demonic possessions. Of course they will. Everybody knows that. That's been happening for years. It always happens to me. And again, people do assume that I've been demon-possessed, but that's from a whole different manner. Basically, he has stated, he even stated back in March, I think on the show I did state about it, but he stated, again, viewing such films could result in curses or demonic possession. Also suggested the movie producers are susceptible to satanic influences, which cause them to make such films. Ah, of course. And the people who made the film and do the things called Purity Balls, that must be completely Christian-like, right? Because, you're all with the Westboro Baptist Church, which everybody hates to begin with. So just saying to these people, could you get a hold of your shit and hold on a little bit tighter here? I understand you're just kind of losing it, but you stop picking on the horror fans. You want to pick on somebody? Come after me. I will defend the horror fans, and the horror fans know that. I mean, just stop doing that. Why? Of everything that's going on in society, you want to pick on demon-possessed things. Great. I think you've been possessed by the demon, too. All right, moving right along. For right now, we have this other segment added to the show called Haunted Attractions. Like I said, we're about 62 days to Halloween, and these things are all happening very, very soon. First up, on jobs, Camp Evans Base of Terror. They're looking for volunteers to help build, do makeup, act for this year's event. It is for raising money for their museum. So they're looking for that. It's experiencing a 100-year-old experimental research grounds / army base of the most terrifying and disturbing, a half-mile-long journey. You can find this at CampEvansBaseOfTerror.com. Also on Facebook, Camp Evans Base of Terror. So definitely check that one out. Also, just to let people know here, I know it was somebody else who was, yes, Haunted Scare House in Wharton, New Jersey, August 30th. That's the last one for casting call. The hours are going from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. And I've heard people say, well, I can't make that. Then you can't do the Haunted House thing because it's dedication. Usually working Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sometimes you're working even on a Thursday night. Most times you're going to work from 6 p.m. until whenever they close, which could be 10 p.m., it could be midnight, it could be 2 in the morning. Depending on who you work for, you have a great time, or it could be like slave trade, that you're not doing enough, you're not being intense enough, you're not doing enough. And the downside, of course, has been what I've seen at haunted houses lately, is you're getting these punks that walk through there, and for some reason, they pay the money to get scared, but then when you scare them, they turn around and they punch you. Also, for a lot of the women who work in these places, I do want them to be aware there's a lot more groping occurring now. They're grabbing, they're groping, they're pushing against walls. And while there's supposed to be cameras and security watching, if it's a very dark area that you're in, you know, unless that's a night vision camera, the security is not going to get there fast enough to handle the situation. Because, again, it's kind of like a cattle chute. You walk through and everybody's kind of bunched together. So just be aware of that, what you could be walking into. I really think parents who are going to have a 16-year-old kid working in a place like this should really walk through these places and see what it's like for themselves. Just to let people also know that Field of Screams in Montville, PA, in 14 days will be opening. You can find this on Field of Screams Facebook. You can also go to their website called Field of Screams, the Haunted Hayride, Den of Darkness, Frightmare Asylum, and Nocturnal Wasteland. Now, just a note, Field of Screams is not cheap. You will pay some money to go there. Also, speaking of places, you can go for a really cool site called hauntedhouses.com, state / you know, whatever state, and this one I brought up was PA. We have the King George Inn, Reading Fire Station, Aaron Burr House, Independence Hall, and the Edison Theater. Also, a real cool place to check out is Eastern State Penitentiary. Looking at the time here, we've got about 21 minutes left in the show. We're doing pretty well in things, so let's stay on this topic for a moment. Also noting from New Jersey, you can check out the New Jersey Haunted Houses .com site. It's a really cool site. They'll give you information on like the Field of Terror Haunted House and Hayride in East Windsor. They're still looking for actors, so definitely click the Actors tab. You can go to Scare Farm at North's Hill Farm in Hillsboro. Again, there's an employment tab, so definitely check that out. But I advise you to hurry up, because most of these places will have their actors figured out by the beginning of September, so you are running out of time. Corner of Chaos, Screen Makers, East Windsor, New Jersey. Again, jobs tab, hit it. Next up here is, I'm trying to find this one, we got the Brighton Asylum in Passaic, New Jersey. Check that out. Check out the work section on there, too. C, Casola Farms, Haunted Hayride of Terror in Marlborough, New Jersey, is seeking actors. Again, check these out. You only have a few days left, because these places are gearing up and they're hitting their stride really quickly. A lot of times for these places, you do not need to have any type of acting experience. And it's a great way to get into the acting role, because you're going to have to do it live. And if you, you know, flub up your line, you're going to have to deal with it. the audience is going to know that you flubbed it, and you're going to have to figure out, okay, how do I get out of that? I really advise you just to go completely and totally crazy when you audition, because that's the best thing you can possibly do for everybody, because it's just insane. I've done it many different ways. I've pretty much always been picked to do different things, and you know, some people say, well, gee, I was only picked to do security. And that's fine. It's your job. You get picked to do security, but there's a really good chance that during the season, people are going to drop off. They're not going to be dedicated. They're going to get tired or whatever. And you can go from doing security to headlining an event, if you would, because they're going to say, hey, I don't need you doing security anymore. I now need you to come over here, and now I need you to become a complete stark-raving lunatic. And you may say, I can't do that. I don't know how to be a stark-raving lunatic. Well, depending on what state you live in, and you might be able to. If you live in Jersey, it should be normal for you. If you're you got a wife, a girlfriend, somewhere else, and she's maybe a PMS cop at that time, you need to go, okay, now I can go completely crazy because she made me crazy. So, you know, you want to get into it. Just moving right along here, a couple final anniversaries for the month where one should be noted. We just had the 10th anniversary for Anacondas, the hunt for the Blood Orchid. Celebrated that one on August 27th. And for our 30th anniversary is Chud. They'll be celebrating that on the 31st. Also, to let people know about a new site for film festivals, there's about, I think there's over 680 film festivals that site in the list. You can find it at filmfreeway.com. Again, that's filmfreeway.com. So definitely check that out. On events, we have here the Zombie Pub Crawl, Infect Scranton. That's happening Friday, September 5th, 7 p.m. to Saturday, September 6th at 1:30 a.m. Throwing up to occur approximately at 1:32 a.m. to about 2. Doesn't say that, but it's going to say that you might be doing that. You can find out about this. Again, Infect Scranton, just put that in for the Zombie Pub Crawl. There will probably be more of these coming up. You can also find out about eventbrite.com/e/zombie-pub-crawl-tickets. And there you go. Moving up along here for upcoming events. Let's see here. Letting people know that the Toronto Film Festival is occurring right now. Also, for in September, we have Weekend of Fear in Wilkes-Barre, PA, for MrHurst.net. You can look that up. That's happening on September 5th through the 7th. On the 10th, we've got a music show here, Skeleton Witch, Ghoul, Black Anvil, and Vector, all playing at Underground Arts in Philly. That's, again, September 10th. On September 13th, well, guess what? We've got Washington Theater. They're going to have their second annual Metal Fest show, $10 ahead. Okay, this is an important one. I'm definitely heading to this one, the Atlantic City Food Festival, September 13th and 14th, with host John Henderson. He returns for his third year, and thanks to a generous grant from the Casino Reinvestment Development Authority, the event is free. That does not mean that seminars and things that occur at the event are free. It just means that you can get into the event for free. Also, on September 20th and 21st, Wine Fest is occurring at Chemung, New Jersey. I might be going to that also. And if you're in the LA, California section, you can go on the September 26th through the 28th to Days of the Dead. Also, just want to throw this out here, and we'll be talking about this later in upcoming shows. On, October 26th, Smithville Zombie Walk. Definitely check that out. Find it on Facebook. Probably find it on the horror scene, Atlantic Scary. I know that Armageddon Ed has been talking about it, too. So definitely check that out. And here's a nice little tidbit for people. It's happening technically October 31st / November 1st, the Masquerade of the Macabre Halloween Ball from LC Macabre in Ronkonkoma, New York. And I hope I said that right. It's Twitch Productions and the Clarion Hotel bring you the Masquerade of the Macabre. It is a fantastic Halloween experience. A lot of insane things from what I understand happened that night. The experience begins on Halloween night, and it goes all the way through to the 1st. You can find that from livingdeadmafia.com/lead-stories/ 253 Masquerade for the Macabre. So definitely check that out. It's very good for people. Halloween's coming up. A lot of crazy events will be posted. And as people know that I will be doing a Halloween show that night, and I'm coming up with a couple crazy things to do that night. I don't know if I should mention them. I give a little teaser out here. But as you heard me earlier tonight, start off the show that, hey, when I played a certain piece of music, it was for Dad, Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Basically, you can figure out what I'm going to do for Halloween. It's going to be, I don't think everybody's ever done it before, so I'm going to try to do something really crazy. Also to throw it out there, a lot of people had heard it last week, I was going to do the Ice Bucket Challenge. I'm not doing the Ice Bucket Challenge. I have nobody to nominate. I asked a few people, and I like to ask people before I do things in case they have a physical impairment that, basically bars them from doing them. If they got a hurt arm or they can't do it because of some sort of physical impairment, why call somebody out? That's not a lot of fun. So since I have nobody to nominate, and I know of an organization out there that supposedly does a lot of charity things, but they turned out and said, no, we don't care about it. I decided to basically donate money to the ALS for this, for the awareness. And I'm completely aware of people, so the Ice Bucket Challenge is to make people understand what it feels like to have that, the ALS, because that's shocking right in the system. Well, I have another way of understanding how it feels like to be a person who afflicted with these diseases because of how society treats people who are handicapped. And just for that mentioning, I'd just like to put it out there that, I've seen where society will let the people's pit bulls, go near people who are handicapped going, come on, it'd be great if this dog bites you. It'll solve everybody's problem. Or they'll come up with these crazier statements, you belong in an oven. I mean, really? This is how cruel and contemptuous you are? So I'm going to donate the $100 or $50 or whatever I can, I probably can't do 100, but probably something lower. But every little bit helps. Again, I can't do the Ice Bucket Challenge because, one, I have nobody to nominate, so that kind of really stinks. I mean, I was going to use the New Jersey Kent County water system, which is, of course, dirty to begin with, then run that water through a 20-year-old hose that's been laying outside that had been used for insecticides, pesticides, all kinds of chemicals. It's really grimy, and then basically take that water and dump it on myself with the ice and say, there you go. Now top that. I even thought about maybe doing the stunt during the winter. Of course, someone I know said, no. Are you trying to kill yourself? I said, of course not. Everybody already took bets on how that's going to happen, and that's not one of the things on the list. So moving right along here, I do want to thank people for listening to my other show, Shredding Metal Beast. The show is doing really great, getting a lot of support to it. Like I said earlier in the show, I'm in talks with some bands in France and in Germany, in the UK. So, I mean, it's really great. I'm getting a lot of bands for the fans out there. We're doing a great show every week. This week we're going to have music from the Grave Robbers on there, also known as GGR, Dean and the Grave Robbers. We're going to have Astro Vamps. Ghouls is going to be on the show. So a lot of music there. So the likes are coming up really great on that show. I think it's at about 40, and it's a word-of-mouth show, so it takes time to come up. Well, Baron's Crypt is settling into almost 110 likes. I really appreciate that from everybody. And again, I always say, hey, Baron, what can we do for you? And I'll tell you what you can do. You can listen into the show. You can support Armageddon Ed on his show. You can call into the shows, supporting your projects. And people will say, well, it's so expensive. I can't seem to promote my project. Yes, you can. Facebook, there's the King of Promotions site that does free promotion for you. there's this show, there's other podcasts out there. This show is very much open to the fans. You can always call in and talk about your horror project. You can talk about whether it's a festival, whether you're filming it, and it doesn't matter where you are. I'm always willing to listen to the fans and what they want. So, again, you can always contact me, you know, about doing a review of your DVDs, whether it's horror, exploitation, Splatterfest, Grindhouse, even an erotic, you know, adult horror. I got one here called The Vampire Mistress from Harry Sparks, and I got to find somebody to now take that because it seems the one of the sites I write for said no. They changed their tune on that one. So moving right along, if you do want to send me anything, you can first email me at bcraze, with the numeric number 2, at gmail.com. You can mail it to me at Baron Craze, 230 Kings Highway, East, number 330, Haddonfield, New Jersey, 08033. All right, and also, always you can always contact me on Twitter, Baron_Craze. So moving right along here, some sites to check out. We've got ZombieResearchSociety.com. We've got ARXMortis.com. Wait a minute here, folks. I think something came up on Twitter, so let's just check what that is. Oh, somebody out there, Vincent, is just telling me, hey, you're doing a great show. Vincent works most nights and he can't call in, so I do understand him. Next up, we've got Facebook, the Paranormal New Jersey site, hauntedplaces.org. On Facebook, again, circusrejects.entertainment. That's Karnick and Grin. Another cool site on Facebook is Historic Smithville. There's the Ghosts and Legends tours that are happening there, so definitely check that out. Of course, thehorrorscene.com. Then I also want to give a shout-out to these two manufacturers here. One is called blackcraftcult.com. The reason I note them is they got a T-shirt that I'm thinking about buying. It is, excuse the language, but I've got to say the word because it's the only way, but I'll edit it a little bit, okay? F the Westboro Baptist Church. I was a little polite there. I could have just dropped the F-bomb, but I'm trying to make a cleaner show for people. Also, the other site is Irrelevant, Irrelevant Shirts. Again, it's IRREVERENT. The reason I note this, they have a shirt there that I thought was really funny. Again, I think I'm going to get this one also. It's called Sarcasm. Of beating the shit out of people is still illegal. So I like that. I thought it was a really nice shirt because I'm very sarcastic with a lot of people, but it seems to cause problems with people, and they don't seem to understand what sarcasm is. So we're winding down here with about 6 minutes to go, and I definitely want to play our outro music tonight. So I want to give our shout-outs at this current time. I should mention, if I can find this really quick, yes. I forgot to mention it last week. And I think it's only fair that I do it this week. The reviews of mine, people are really cooking on these things, and I thank you a lot. The top ones for this this week is a dead tie between the two films, America's Alien Invasion, which comes from Reality Entertainment, a subcompany of Chemical Burn Entertainment, with 486 views. While Infliction is also tied for first with the same amount, number 486. Coming up in second is I Am Evil from director Richard Tursey. And then in third is Rabbit Love. So just putting that out there of what people are striving for, what they're looking for in these films. I think it's really great. I really thank everybody for all the support that you are giving to me. It's terrific. Please keep reading the articles. Like I said, my lunatic army out there is posting them. They are using the Baron Craze title, and I gave them permission to do that. They're very trustworthy people, so I definitely did that for them. Okay, so the shout-outs are going to Brunhoville, for his song Rebirth from the album Rebirth, which was released in February of this year. You can find it on Amazon along with five other albums that he's done. Again, he lent me the music so I could do a tribute show there in the beginning to Robin Williams. Also, there's a place I go to on Tuesday mornings a lot called the Club Diner. I'm usually there on Tuesday morning from 1 to 2 in the morning. I'm enjoying one of their products they have there, OMG Chocolate Dreams. You can find more horror fans are finding me there, discussing it. You know, sit back, drink a glass of water, cup of coffee, whatever, and just talk about horror movies for 2 hours or more. I want to give a shout-out to Armageddon Ed and thank him again for calling in the show. It's always a pleasure to have him on the show. And first, then, I want to give it a shout-out here to the horror scene for letting me be a part of the network and join with them. Again, I can't believe this. On Twitter, I've got 664 followers. Thank you so very much. It is just a wonderful thing that you do. I know there was a film that I needed to talk about. If I can find it really quick in my notes here. Here it is. Almost forgot this. I'm going to take a little break from the shout-outs. We got Beauty Sleep follows Mary Lynn's Haunted 9-to-5 Grind, Noise Cancellation Earbuds, Blank Face People Texting, Horrendous TV Dinners, Laugh Track Drown Out Sitcoms, turns into an opera of horror. She accidentally spills her morning prescription pills. Her sobering visions begin to see Eyes Wide Shut Society, Lost in a Routine, a lot of symbolism in the film. It is coming from director Andrew Robertson, starring Maura Stevens, Randy Mars. Just a really cool film. It's been accepted to the 6th Annual Toronto Independent Film Festival. Basically, she is finding outside of her normal routine world these out-of-box horrors that she's experiencing. So definitely check this out. Find on Facebook.com, Beauty Sleep Movie. Sorry, I forgot about it. It just happened. I've got about 2 minutes left, so here we go really fast, folks. Check out Annie's FX Productions, author Christian Jennerson, author Charlie J.J. Cougar and his band Overdue Exorcism, of course, Obscure Zine, and Toasted Head Merlot Wine. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, and we're just about done, and we're going to play Ghoul Town's Mistress of the Dark, so I want everybody to enjoy it, have a good, safe weekend, and just get ready for Halloween, folks. So here we go.
Across that velvet river. pleasant dreams.